Let's go back to the rally that Mr. Trump had last night in D.C., where he said, and quoting him here, we're going to give them the best first day, the biggest first week, and the most extraordinary first 100 days of any presidency in American history. What are some of the things we expect the president to do in these first few days and weeks in office?
Well, we expect a head-spinning day. We know that he's already said he's going to take roughly 200 executive actions just today alone. And many of those will probably be aimed at undoing many of the executive actions that were put in place by President Biden. So it's going to be a very busy day indeed. As we know from previous experience, Donald Trump is not a president who sits idly by and watches other people do things. He is a very hands-on president, and he's very intimately involved in all of the small details. And so we expect, well, as we put it here, another head-spinning day, but this time a Trump head-spinning day.
The move of the inauguration inside for the first time since Reagan's inaugural back in the 80s, how does that change the ceremony or what we're going to see in our nation's capital today?
You know, it's been a vast change. You know, they've been building the inaugural platform, the risers, and everything outside the Capitol building for months. Here at the White House, they have been building the reviewing stand that would be the final stop before the parade along the parade route. Now, all of that is going to be, well, completely unnecessary. So they're moving everything inside the Capitol Rotunda. So only a small number of people, those who would have been on the inaugural platform, for example, if it had been held outdoors, will be indoors inside the Capitol Rotunda. Now, it's a big room, but it's not quite as big. So a lot of people who were invited guests are not going to be able to attend. And the Capitol security has basically said your inaugural tickets that you have will be commemorative. So a lot of people will be able to see it, the public will be able to see it, but at the nearby Capitol One Arena, a large indoor venue, and they're actually going to do a parade inside there as well.
Mr. Trump will deliver that inaugural address after being sworn in today. What do we expect to hear from the newly elected president?
Well, he has made various promises to solve, for example, high prices. The people who voted for him are very optimistic he will deliver on those promises. And he's also expected to discuss things such as border security, which was a very big part of his campaign. Cracking down on immigration that has been migrants coming into the country illegally. Mass deportations, he has promised, they may be starting, perhaps, according to some of the information we have, as soon as day two, maybe even day one. We're not exactly sure how that's going to unfold, but these are among the many promises that the incoming president has issued. And we do expect that he will be moving very quickly. Now, some of the things that he is going to have to confront very early in his presidency is the budget and the debt ceiling, because the current government funding runs out in the middle of March. And so he's going to probably talk about the economy. He's probably going to talk about inflation. And he's probably going to do what a lot of supporters have urged him to do, which is bring down grocery prices.
With the slim majority that the Republicans have in the House, obviously they have control of the Senate as well, but with that slim majority in Congress, how much will the president need Congress to accomplish some of those things during this term?
Well, he does have an unusual situation in that he has control of the White House, the House, and the Senate. And so you would think that that would make things easy. However, because the majorities are not substantial enough to overcome minority opposition, it will require some reaching across the aisle, some compromises in order to get some Democratic votes. Not every Republican in the House or the Senate supports everything on his agenda. And so while most do, it does mean that those who are more moderate Republicans, their votes are going to have to be courted. And if any of them, certainly in the Senate, for example, say he loses maybe three votes, that could tip the balance on passage of any particular piece of legislation. So there's going to have to be a lot of reaching across the aisle and compromise. And that used to be considered a badge of honor when Joe Biden was in the U.S. Senate. But over the years, it has evolved to be something quite opposite. And working with the Democrats, Republicans have often frowned upon that in the most intervening years. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons that former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and current House Speaker Mike Johnson both had to disappoint some of their more conservative members.
As I let you go, you mentioned President Biden, who in his final hours of office issued some pardons today, some preemptive pardons. I'm curious what you make of those pardons, and what the legacy of Joe Biden's presidency will be.
I would say that the pardons, according to a statement from Joe Biden, were unusual. He did say these were unusual circumstances, but he said these are exceptional circumstances, and I cannot in good conscience do nothing. So he pardoned Dr. Anthony Fauci, retired General Mark Milley, members of the January 6th committee, and these were preemptive. Why? Because Donald Trump has promised to seek a retribution against those he considers his political enemies. And of course, General Mark Milley, when chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was not very complimentary of Donald Trump's tactics, and Dr. Anthony Fauci crossed him on issues including vaccinations during COVID, and the January 6th committee investigated his actions on the day of the rival at the riot at the U.S. Capitol building. So he has promised to exact retribution, and Joe Biden is basically saying, well, you know, if he says he's going to do something, Trump, then he's probably going to do it. So he said he had to preemptively pardon them. Now, they are both grateful and also saying, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I committed no crimes, so I don't need to be pardoned. But we're in a whole new world, and we, for the first time, certainly in recent history, we have an incoming president who has threatened retribution. So this is why the actions were taken.
CBS News correspondent Linda Kenyon joining us from the nation's capital. Linda, thanks for the time and the perspective. Hope we get a chance to visit again in the future.
That sounds good to me. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.